Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Dan, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Yo, welcome to Sports Talk, the Tuesday edition, 95.3 The Score. Normally, I hit you up on Twitter and text. We have been temporarily disabled. So if you want to chat with us, well, I got my phone so I could still respond on Twitter, but the text line comes to my laptop. So we had a couple of conversations going back and forth as the 3 o'clock hour ended. So I'm not ignoring you. I am incapable of communication. Somebody sent out this tweet where I guess it's like every helmet just starts rotating through. It's like, and you click on it four times, and that's supposed to be your prediction for the four teams who will make next year's playoff. And mine was annoying, although not completely unreasonable.
I got annoying and unreasonable. I got
is that like the subtitle of our show?
Yes.
Annoying actually, and unreasonable.
Actually, it is. Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
It totally should be.
I got Baylor. Okay, sure.
Yeah, they knocked on the door this year.
Right. Stanford, maybe making a comeback.
They would have to be a big comeback. Okay. That might be unreasonable right now.
It gets more. Hold on to your hats. ASU, Herm Edwards making a comeback. Two Pac-12 teams. How about that, Larry Scott?
From none to two.
It gets better. UW. All three of them.
Oh, my God.
Woo! Pac-12, baby. Back the pack.
By the way, of the people who I've seen on Twitter, yours is so far the least likely to happen. What the hell would it take for three teams to get in? You can't get three teams from one conference in. There would have to be
9 losses.
You would have to get, like, say the Pac-12 this year happened in the rest of the conferences, but you eliminate Oregon and Utah. Like, the winner of the North and South each had 3 losses. Then you could get, like, where the whoever won the North lost to the other but didn't play the South. It would just have, you'd have to, scientists would have to labor for decades to come up for a way to get a third team in from another conference. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We're back, baby! We're back! So I got Texas, I got Wisconsin, Texas A&M, and Notre Dame. That's why I talked about annoying. Wisconsin I can get on board with. I don't want to see Jimbo succeed at A&M.
The Texas A&M rivalry, it being brought back into a playoff game, though, you're telling me you wouldn't love that storyline? These two Big 12 teams going back at it in their new conference. Jimbo Fisher leading the line in the SEC, making his big comeback for his big paycheck, taking on a team in his state. Explosions, bald eagles.
I think from what I've understood, and my producer before I moved to Cumulus, and certain people I've spoken with, and the folks we've talked to when Oregon's been in the tournament playing Big 12 teams, they say until you witness Texas A&M at Kyle Field, you don't understand the magnitude. Because as weird as that sounds, that kind of flies under the radar, even though it's got the magnitude of Texas, mainly because Texas A&M was viable when they had Manziel, and then I don't think they had been to another major bowl since like the late 90s, whereas you talk about two huge universities, I guess the first thing that would come to your mind is Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, you know, between the two of them, what does the Big House and the Horseshoe hold, about 210,000 people or something crazy like that? They used to do that bonfire at A&M until, I don't know, a decade ago, where it collapsed and like some people died or something like that. I'm not just throwing that out there, and I'm certainly not making light of it. But and one of the reasons most rational people who have a history and understanding of sports, unlike Seattle Seahawks fans, the reason a lot of people got pissed off at the 12s is because the 12th man belongs to Texas A&M. I believe there was a time where they would literally select somebody, a student, and they would like take part in like a kickoff team or something like that. Not recently, you know, you're going back to, you know, pre-TV or something like that. It's, well, some of you are probably more qualified to answer that than moi. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, I love how many people are now playing this game. Well, let's face it. We're deep down inside, we're all 12 and want to play games. If you do a show like this, if you listen to shows like this, that's because somebody got Penn State, Kentucky, and Wisconsin.
Wow. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's a really random.
How do you get the same team?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did it a couple times, too. That's why I had to double click again. I think I got Baylor twice, and then I ended up with ASU and Wisconsin, or and UW. It's strange, man. I tell you what, when everybody talks about that, and I've talked about some of the random weird things that have happened in NCAA Football 14, which is the last college football video game that came out in 2013. There are some weird glitches and bugs in that game where if you keep playing long enough, Army, Navy, and Air Force all and Georgia Tech all end up going undefeated in the same season. And going into conference championship week, you've got three or four undefeated teams for two spots in the BCS, and it makes no sense. And then I'm just thinking about, well, when you add this game, when it comes back and you've got real players in it for a little bit, and then you start to add in there's a playoff factor and there's like a committee involved, but it's still a video game. I don't understand how any of this is going to work, and I can't wait for the four random teams to get put into the playoff.
The question that you just had surface in my sad little brain is Army, Navy, Air Force. So if we were going to pick a fourth program that just represents like American patriotism, because you can't go Coast Guard. I want to be realistic here. I'm sure a lot of people would say, nah, if they said Notre Dame, we'd have to hunt them down and do something awful. I don't know that there actually is a fourth. Would it have to be an Ivy League school to just represent what American higher education is supposed to be? Although, it also represents what American higher education has become, because it's like $8 billion a year
also that
to attend one of those schools.
Well, I think it would just be a matter of a school deciding we are branding
ourselves. The first one, Rutgers.
Yeah, like why not? Like it just comes down to a matter of we are America's college football team. The Cowboys did it, and they've only been around since 1960 or whatever, even though
By the way, look at you knowing that. Well, because you learned it this week.
I learned it yesterday. I still remember. So the Cowboys did it. They've only been around since 1960. You've got the Bears and the Packers that have been around for twice as long, if not longer. They're not branded as America's team. We just need a school to just take the handle, the flame, the whatever you pass along to people. They need to take that and just run with it and just start saying, we are America's team. This is us. America's college football team is whoever.
I have the answer.
Oh, boy.
The Coastal Carolina Chanticleers.
Absolutely. I'm already in because I already have a T-shirt.
The sad thing is I can attest to that.
It's very true.
All right. By the way, somebody texted and said in that game where you pick four, he got Washington three times. F this.
That'll make you quit that game for
the
sure.
The Citadel.
Oh, that's a good one.
That might be the one. Somebody said, what about the anti-patriotic team? I don't know. In the times we live in, not even want to go down that path.
Is there a Canadian team or a Canadian university that plays in NCAA at any level? Should it be North Dakota State? It doesn't make
any
sense.
State.
Get out of here, North Dakota.
Well, we know for a fact, if there's one thing in life that's sure, is we only need one Dakota. We don't need North and South. We need one Dakota. That's all.
I've been saying that for years. We just need the one of them.
But it got to keep the Jackrabbits. That's too cool of a nickname.
Yeah, you just drop the North and South. All the team names are already different. You've just got a Dakota State Jackrabbits, a Dakota State Bison. Hey, you drop the directionals from it. You're set to go. You have 40. Then that puts you to 49 states, and then you just adopt Puerto Rico as the 50th state because they're next in line. You don't even have to change.
There's a line.
Yeah. I think there's a line. If there was a line, I think maybe they'd be first in line. It starts there for sure. They definitely have first dibs, or what's the thing when you have the player teams have the rights to negotiate with a player before free agency, that kind of thing. That's what Puerto Rico has with the U.S. to become the 50th state, and then you don't even have to change the flag. It just stays the same.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Somebody tweeted at me the four they've gotten. Nebraska, they're back. Miami, they're back. Tennessee, they're back. Wisconsin, they finally arrived. Nice. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Dylan. Dylan, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going good, Steve. So I got the school to go with Navy, Army, and Air Force, and that's the red, white, and blue of Liberty University.
Oh, yes!
Liberty, yeah, I'm going to counter that for reasons I won't get into, but I see where you're going. And
we had a kid from Pleasant Hill that pitched there recently, too, and now he's playing in the Yankee system.
He pitched at Liberty?
Yeah, he pitched for Lane for 2 years. And then he got a scholarship, transferred there, and was a closer for Liberty. And he was drafted in the 26th round. I've called in the past, I think, year and mentioned to you, Jackson Birch. And he's actually moved up from the Gulf Coast League to Single A now. So he's playing for Staten Island.
Nice. Oh, good tidbit. Thanks a lot, Dylan.
Yep.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Somebody said Simon Fraser is a Division II Canadian team. I don't know what to do with that information.
Well, now they're the anti-America's team because they're Canadian. Get out of here with your sorry maple syrup, eh? Your weird third downs and players running in motion all over the place. Your rouge. No, thank you, Canada.
Yeah, there's not... I guess the Citadel would be my answer at this point. And, you know, unfortunately, you know where the Citadel shows up? The week before the rivalry game in the SEC. You know, one of them will schedule them before the Iron Bowl or the Egg Bowl or, you know, one of the big games to get their bunny on the schedule as sort of a tune-up.
Okay, so if we take the Cowboys approach of we're just going to be the team, we're taking the mantle, we're taking this flame, we're going to carry the torch, passing of the torch, that's what I've been looking for so long. A team that's going to pick up this torch and they're going to run away with it. It's got to be a team that has maybe a little bit of success, but not too much success. They've got to be loud and out there and just kind of like everybody's got to be talking about them all the time, but they're not quite winning just yet, but they want to win and they want to try really hard. What team is that? It could be Miami. They had some success. They've got the links with Jimmy Johnson and the Cowboys, America's team. It's all coming together. Haven't been good in a long time. They've got the swag, the swagger. The fan base is big. They're nationally known, and they're America's team now. The U. Thoughts?
All right. I may need a nap. Oh. All right.
You go too far?
284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Somebody said what Nick described sounds an awful lot like Nebraska.
We're Nebraska. Yeah, I mean, Nebraska, I think, kind of works too. Haven't been back in a while, kind of back. Is the Scott Frost thing going to work? Is it not going to work? People talk about Nebraska. Go Big Red. GBR got the hashtag. Go for it. Corn, America. Yeah.
Yeah, corn also has contributed to our obesity problem. Hey, somebody finally got the Ducks in there. And by the way, Oklahoma, Arizona State, and Oregon. What in the actual hell is going on? What's with the doubling? There's a glitch.
It's just when you click, you can click on something twice. I'm sure somebody out there's gotten Alabama all four times. They're just like, there's no respect for the SEC, Paul.
How many people in SEC country, in Birmingham or something like that, are just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. No, no, no. Ha, got him. Bam, I knew. Just force feeding themselves to convince themselves that it's got to be Alabama or bust. All right, 284. 8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. The game on right now, a lot of college hoops tonight because with it down to just, you know, Clemson beating LSU for the Natty on Monday, and by dinner Sunday, we'll be down to a Final Four in the NFL. It means the end of football season is near. So time to get nuts about college basketball. And I guess that's kind of easy to say when you're a Eugene basketball fan right now, when you've got Kelly Graves and the woman poised for another Final Four run, the men off the Sweet 16, and the current landscape seems to look like nobody is dominant. And, you know, the only team right now I would lock in as a one or two seed is going to be Gonzaga because they ain't going to get touched in the West Coast Conference. Duckmen have all the reason in the world to be stoked for another deep March run. I mean, you look at the national rankings, you've got the Stunners, Duke at 2, Kansas at 3. Auburn, by the way, 5. San Diego State, 7. So the Auburn Tigers and the Aztecs of SDSU are the lone unbeatens. You got Michigan State 8, Ducks 9, Florida State 10. And right now, number 11, Ohio State. At number 12, Maryland. The Terps under Mark Turgeon, who you might remember way back a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. He was an assistant under Jerry Green on Oregon's, well, first tournament team since at the time, 1961, 1995. And I remember when they announced that Jerry Green was leaving for Tennessee, some thought Turgeon should have been promoted and gotten the gig. And instead, you know, they hired Coach Kent, who at the time was the St. Mary's head coach. Last year, Turgeon and the Turtles made the dance, lost in round two. It's amazing. This is now his 10th year running the program. In College Park, they made one decent tournament run 4 years ago, all the way to the Sweet 16. And if you remember, one of their big guns was Jake Layman, who actually ended up with the Blazers, played the first 3 years of his NBA career in Portland. And they had a guy by the name of, how cool is this, Diamond Stone, who had a, yeah, that was his name.
What? No, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, he was the one of the 1-2 punch with Maryland's Sweet 16 team of 2016. Jake Layman, Diamond Stone.
Is that a nickname? That had to have been a nickname.
That was his name on the sports reference site. He had a quick cup of coffee with the Clippers. This is a pretty experienced Terrapin Station team.
Wow.
Led by senior guard Anthony Cowan. What have you discovered, Nick?
His name is Diamond Lewis Stone.
His That's parents amazing. Either have a great sense of humor or they are just styling.
I mean, you kind of have to have, when you've got Stone as a last name, that's a pretty cool last name to have. One of my friends is named Stone. He's going to be a doctor. Dr. Stone. Sounds just really cool. You know, just being you know, a friend of his.
Stone, a cooler last name or first name?
Ooh, wow.
Stone Phillips, NBC.
Well, it depends on the last name. I mean, if you're just going to, if your first name is Stone, you just have to be Stone all the time. Nobody can care about
it. No, your last name is irrelevant.
Right.
If your last name is Stone and you're a Dylan fan, your first name is Everybody Must Get. The Buckeyes, by the way, now under Chris Holtmann.
Hey, Papa!
You happy with yourself? I know I am.
I just saw one of the texts that you got, too. That's a bad joke. Better than kidney?
Nice. So Chris Holtmann is now in his third year as the Ohio State coach. Remember, first he got the Butler gig when Brad Stevens left for the NBA Celtics riches. And, you know, Ohio State got into the dance last year despite they were 8-12 in the Big Ten. Then they beat Iowa State in the 11-6, but that good Houston team ran them. And this year they reached all the way up to a number two in the country just before Christmas, but they lost to West Virginia, just fell to Wisconsin at home, and they began big play early this year, lost at Minnesota. So it's a good team. Are they a great team? The jury remains out, but this should be a really, really good game because now, you know, we are into the teeth of conference play. And, you know, as you wait for the weekends for the remaining few football games that matter, you know, you start catching up because we are now, I think, tomorrow, 8 weeks from tomorrow, certain conferences will start their postseason tournament, which just seems nuts. All right, that brings us to break time. We'll do just that, and when we come back, we'll have an update, and we'll talk Arizona basketball with their ace radio analyst, Ryan Hansen, next, 95.3, The Score.
The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
The one thing that a special team coach does that only a head coach does is deal with every single player on the team, not just his one room or his one position. And so he understands how to delegate, how to relate, how to make sure people get an opportunity to do what they do best. And let's be honest, aside from the defense in New England last year, the special teams won them games.
That's Ryan Clark of ESPN on liking the Judge hire. It's so funny to look down. When you get a list of highlights from a network, it'll be like Marcus Spears, what's great about the Judge hire? Ryan Clark or somebody, what's wrong about the hire? Another, what's why the jury is out on the hire? And it's like, okay, see, every hire. If the Giants hired Belichick, the jury would be out on, you know, there is no automatic that's going to succeed at the highest level of professional sports when you have a salary cap, personnel in place, a GM, whatever factors go into determining your level of success, especially in a case like this and a league like the National Football League. We welcome you back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. Let us lock up the Oregon fuel injection hotline on this Tuesday. Oregon starts the home portion of the Pac-12 schedule this week with a bang. This really strong Arizona team is in town. They're ranked 24th, just demolished Arizona State. Our guest will be alongside play-by-play man Brian Jeffries for the radio call on the Arizona IMG Sports Network. Welcome in Ryan Hansen. Ryan, appreciate the time. Happy 2020. How's life treating you these days?
Great, Steve. Thanks for having me on. I'm really happy and excited to talk about Oregon, Arizona. What a big rivalry this has become.
Oh, yeah. You know, first of all, interesting. I saw you graduated from the U of A in 96. Then you stayed, earned your master's. So I could do the math. You were there when the Cats won Lutz national title in 97. It was amazing. You knocked off three number one seeds and blue bloods, Kansas, Carolina, Kentucky. When you think back to now going on 23 years ago, Ryan. What are some of the memories that come to mind regarding that incredible run?
Well, not only was I on campus, I was on Luke's staff. I was our top student manager the year we won the title, so I can actually say I was on the bench when we won that game. And what's the most interesting portion of that run was the first game of the NCAA tournament. We were down 10 with 4 minutes to go to South Alabama, staring down the gauntlet of another first-round loss for a Lute Olson-coached Arizona team that had lost 3 out of the previous 4 years in the first round. It was a little scary, but we overcome that and then go on that epic run. So we were that close to getting bounced in the first round. Boom, you overcome that tough game, and all of a sudden you're national champs. It was amazing.
It sure was. I remember that. Talking off of Ryan Hansen, Arizona, you know, you've got a very interesting role with the program scheduling, which obviously come tournament time is a big issue. I mean, you guys have played Illinois, Penn out of the Ivy League, Wake Forest, current number 4 Baylor, current number 1 Gonzaga, St. John's. Ryan, kind of explain your role and, you know, how willing your program is just to load up at a conference.
Well, the scheduling philosophy for Coach Miller is really in line with what Coach Olson was all about, and it was trying to prepare yourself for a deep NCAA tournament run. And so you do that by playing top competition at home, you play top competition on neutral sites, and you obviously go on the road and test yourself so that you can prepare for Matthew Knight Arena. And that game against Baylor, albeit a loss for Arizona this year, I think will help them as they enter into some really tough, hostile environment come Thursday night. I think the Wildcats will be better prepared because they did that versus just loading up on a cupcake at home.
You know, last year, a rarity, Cats missed the dance. I think it's happened twice since 1984, plus last year. And, man, the incoming freshmen, I want to get to them. The big guy who won the Minnesota High School state title. And if you don't know, for the folks here, Zeke Nnaji, yet you will. I've watched him. He's a wizard in the paint, finds a way to score. So what are some of your impressions of the guy wearing number 22 for Arizona?
You bet. As you looked at the recruiting class coming in, Zeke was probably the third most hyped player out of the Arizona class behind Nico Mannion and Josh Green, both McDonald's All-Americans, and are doing a great job, by the way, this year. But then Zeke has been such a surprise because he was a little raw last year in high school and has absolutely exploded on the scene. He is a gazelle when he runs. He's got great hands, fantastic footwork, can shoot it out to 15 feet. He's got an extremely high motor and is shooting an unbelievable percentage, not only from the field. He's one of the top 5 field goal percentage shooters in the country. He is leading the nation as a big man in free throw percentage. I think he's leading the nation in players that are 6'10 or taller in free throw percentage, shooting over 80%. So if he gets fouled, it's as good as gold. It's 2 points. So he has done an amazing job for Arizona and will hopefully help match up nicely against an Oregon front line that is long, lean, and has some great freshmen in their own right.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple other guys who I want to get some specifics on. Another McDonald's All-American who won back-to-back state titles in your state. His dad played in the old WAC at Utah many years ago. I mean, he's already had 3 double-digit assist games. When Nico Mannion takes the floor, what kind of game we seeing?
He's got a unique ability to see the floor. He's got an extremely high basketball IQ, especially for a freshman. So when you watch him move with the ball, it's just so fluid and natural. He plays at probably his best basketball when he plays at a high pace and a quick tempo. But that may be one of the most intriguing matchups. Now, granted, Oregon doesn't always play man-to-man, but when you're comparing the point guard matchups of Peyton Pritchard and the experienced, old, wily veteran that Pritchard is, potential Pac-12 player of the year against this upstart in Nico Mannion, that's going to be a fun matchup to watch. But Nico can score at all 3 levels, does a great job in ball screen action, maybe is probably a better facilitator right now than he is a scorer. His scoring has to and I say that he's still averaging 15 games.
Right.
It's not that his scoring's not there, but he has what I believe the ceiling. He could be a 20-plus scoring guy in the future years if he could stay at Arizona, which is up for debate. A lot of people are projecting him as a potential lottery pick, if not a first-rounder for sure in the NBA draft this coming summer. But he has a little slight of build right now, so needs to get some strength. Can be pushed around a little bit when he's on the defensive end, so some things to grow there. But I think Oregon fans will see a definite NBA future for Nico Mannion.
Yeah, no question about it. And the last member of this trio of freshmen, another McDonald's All-American who went to the prestigious IMG Academy, big guard, 6'6". He played great all around in that Arizona State win. Ryan, what could you tell us about Josh Green?
For Oregon fans that have watched Arizona basketball over the last handful of years, the best comparison physically and maybe skill-wise to the same time as a freshman would be Nick Johnson from Arizona's 2014 Elite 18. He was the Pac-12 Player of the Year that year. Josh, that was his junior year, so again, keep this in relative comparison. Josh has similar character traits, explosive athletic player, has great body control in the air, really good finisher on the break, but yet, at this stage of his career, not a knockdown shooter. So he's not a guy that's going to just drop in five threes in a game. He's pretty streaky. He's hit four in a game. He hit four against Illinois, he hit three against Wake Forest. But since then, he has been sporadic in his three-point jump shooting. So that will develop over time. But from an athletic standpoint, finisher in the paint, Josh Green is good as anybody right now in the freshman class at doing that. And you're right, against Arizona State, he was a definite difference maker in forcing tempo and really putting Arizona State on their heels in transition.
No, he filled up the stat sheet. It was what a performance. A couple final thoughts for Arizona's radio analyst, Ryan Hansen. The last player I want to hit on is Chase Jeter. You know, big guy transferred from Duke, now a senior. By the way, also a McDonald's All-American. And among the things you got to love about this guy, he was Pac-12 All-Academic. He was big in the win against Wake Forest. How valuable is a guy like Chase, who at 6'10", maybe never became the superstar, but battles, set screens, and just works his tail off?
Well, you definitely characterized what I would say about Chase. Is coming out of high school, the McDonald's All-American tag, the Duke background, lent everybody to think this guy is going to be the next lottery pick out of Arizona, maybe just play a year. Clearly, that has not panned out, but what Chase does bring with you is a high IQ, a cerebral player in the post. So you have a guy who can defend in the post, not with sheer athleticism or be out strength and then be outpower you in the low post. He can outthink you in the low post, and he's going to get great position. He draws charges. No surprise, his Duke background teaches him how to take charges. So I think for Sean Miller has a lot of trust in Chase Jeter because he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. As an experienced player now in his fifth year, because he had to sit out during the transfer year, so he's a fifth-year kid who knows the game well, and he's, again, not going to jump and dunk on you for the most part. He's going to use his up-and-unders, his ball fakes to get his shots to fall in. That will be interesting against another front line for Dana Altman in Oregon that is long and shot blockers at the rim. Can Chase be effective with the ball in the post against Dante, against Justin, against even Duarte coming from the offside? That will be a matchup that if Arizona can be stable there, if Chase can be effective, that can help Arizona win. But if Chase can't be effective, Oregon's definitely will have the upper hand.
All right, one last thing. I always like to step outside what I call the duck bubble here in Eugene. And, because the coverage is always duck, 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 duck. But, you know, in your position in talking with the coaches, players, what you've observed, what's kind of the buzz? What's the word about the kind of Oregon team your Wildcats will face in this big game?
Well, and I'm not saying this just because I'm on in Eugene. This is really the truth, and I've been talking about it for about a month here when we've done some Pac-12 reporting and updating to our fan base. I truly think Oregon can win the national title this year. They've got the pieces to do it. They've got the experience with the transfer guys that have really started to fit in well and are starting to fire. Don't look at last week's loss at Colorado and a close game at Utah and start losing faith in this Oregon team. I think they're super dangerous because I love what Peyton Pritchard brings to the game. Just watching him take over the Michigan game on the road, single-handedly winning that game practically, showed me he's got the moxie that you need come NCAA tournament time to make or get you the buckets you need in crunch time. I love what Dana Altman's ability to take disparate parts and put them together. He may be one of the best in the country at creating essentially a patchwork quilt that is beautiful come March, but when you're staring at it in November, you're like, how are these parts going to go together? You take the parts that he's got with Mathis and Duarte, and now Dante's going to start getting into his own. I put a lot of faith, if I was a Duck fan, in what Dana Altman is doing. I don't want to overhype the Ducks, but I really feel that the Ducks are a team that could win the national title this year.
Well, first, I am totally plagiarizing the patchwork quilt line. And
no,
then
run with it.
I want to remind folks he's Ryan Hansen. He'll be calling the action on the Arizona IMG Sports Network with the voice of the Wildcats, Brian Jeffries. So thanks so much for your time and insight. And by the way, make sure to tell our buddy Dave Hickey that Steve Tannen sent his best. You travel safe. And thanks for joining us on Sports Talk, Ryan. Much appreciated.
Can do. Would join you anytime, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. Great stuff. Yeah, this guy has been a Wildcat from the time he entered college 27 years ago. Like I said, from a manager. He now, for many years, has been handling their scheduling, calling the games, master's degree. Yeah, if you want to talk Arizona hoops, I would say Mr. Hansen is pretty qualified. Great stuff there. Really appreciate it. And by the way, those three freshmen are legit. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, which takes us to break time. We'll be back, wrap up the 4 o'clock hour of Sports Talk next. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
Jamal Murray has it right side of the midcourt circle. Guarded out there by Trae Young. It's a high pick from Jokic. He's wide open. Jumper missed left. Rebound tipped by Jokic. Won't go. He got it back. Put it up and in. And there it is. A new career high for Nikola Jokic at 44 points and counting.
47 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Jason Kosmicki, the voice of the Denver Nuggets, as the new Jays win at the ATL. Not really a trick there, but man, the highlights last night with both Jokic and Doncic. It was really interesting to see the defense fall back on these guys. And I don't know, the best way to put it is challenge them to shoot the three. And it's like, well, you do realize they could hit the three, right? So I just, I thought it was a little strange, don't you think? And you know, there's a certain point where it's like, I dare you to hit it. Okay, now the guy's in the 40s. He's probably going to hit it.
Don't do it again.
God, it's, you know, it's not like giving Shaq a three. Go ahead, I dare you. I double dare you. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, you could also text us 321-0824, or you could hit us up via Twitter, Mr. Twitter. That would be at 953 The Score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for yours truly, and for Nick at Rick Nodgers. All right, Tuesday edition of the program, into the home stretch of the 4 o'clock hour, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Bring in Jersey Jack. Hey, Jack, how's it going?
Hey, your French is superb.
Merci.
Yeah, really. So we got a new judge in town.
Yeah, I know. Well, the first one worked out well. Let's hope this guy could have equal success. And so,
yes.
What do you think?
I think I don't know who he is.
I don't
know. He's got a good resume. Just like the coach of the Oregon Ducks has a pretty good resume.
Yeah.
And he's done pretty good.
Here's where I'm at. I think in the case of the Panthers, you look at a lot of people are saying they overpaid for Rule. And I'm like, it ain't my money. But in the case of Judge, I would have rather seen them roll the dice with a guy like this, who's kind of an up-and-comer, an unknown commodity, as opposed to like another retread. God forbid it was Jason Garrett or Josh McDaniel. I don't even think I would have been that thrilled with Mike McCarthy. I mean, they've got a young quarterback, so I'm always willing to gamble and roll the dice with an unknown over a been there, done that, seen that.
Right. I agree. So, you know, they're talking about maybe Garrett as the OC.
Which is something he is suited to do. I would actually like to see him be one of those coordinators who maybe shares duties, who works primarily with quarterbacks, because I think he could do pretty well in that role. But if he was the head coach, I'd have been like, oh, God, this is not going to get better.
Yeah, I agree. But this guy's going to need some people who have experience running teams, and if you have two experienced coordinators, then you can concentrate on being the head coach, and at least he's not going to be calling plays. I hate these guys who take over a team and then they think, well, I got to call the plays, and the rest of the team suffers.
No, there's no question about it. The next two moves, who they fill in as their coordinators, are going to really determine how all of us Giants fans feel going in. And I think in all likelihood, the kind of success he has, you know, what could you expect next year? 500, maybe a little better, maybe contend for what won't be a powerhouse division. But just, you know, give us hope that getting back to the top of the mountain isn't a fantasy anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would not be surprised if Dallas won the division next year.
Yeah, well, talent
McCarthy's
level.
He's a good coach.
Yeah, I also think that you need to be careful with Philly because they pretty much set a record with injuries. I mean, they lost like 275 man games. The game they beat the Giants, I mean, they were making kind of light of it, but, you know, when you go into that big blue medical tent, one of the Eagles went to go in after he got hurt. He couldn't. There was already a guy in there. It was just so telling.
There was a line to get in.
Yeah, it's crazy how injury-prone they were this year.
I agree. Well, let's hope it works out for the best.
All right. Yankees first, Jack. Yankees first.
Gotcha.
All right, take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It seems like today a lot of Giants fans around the country that I follow on Twitter or communicate with, they kind of morphed into the Jets fans of the 80s and 90s at the draft, when no matter who the Jets drafted, it was like, no! Boo! And, well, first of all, the trust connection between Giants fans and Gettleman right now, yeah, it doesn't really exist. So he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. But the fact that they went in this direction, and a lot of the analysts are talking about the difference between bringing on maybe a coordinator who's had limited success as opposed to a guy who's been a position coach / special teams coach, because you do have kind of your hands on, because special teams guys contribute from both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So, you know, you deal with a majority of your roster, if that makes sense. It's, you know, I've heard this multiple times today. And to be perfectly honest, when your team makes a hire like this and it's not somebody you dreaded them picking, you're like, okay, that sounds better and you are willing to kind of let the chips fall where they may. I'd be curious to know. I haven't gotten the pulse. It might be worth checking out, you know, whether it's a Dallas Morning News or some kind of a fan site for the Cowboys about their level of enthusiasm for the ex-Packer coach Mike McCarthy being brought in. Because, you know, we obviously sitting here like we do, be it CBS Sports Radio and all the people we follow on Twitter, you're mostly hearing from analysts, you know, whether they be ex-players, whether they be reporters. And I'm getting mostly positive about McCarthy. I mean, you're going to get somebody, let's face it, when you are on social media, when you do a show like this, you know, somebody's going to just want to chirp and chime and, you know, have their voice heard to be contrarian. And I always refer to it as a bit of a credibility issue, because are you saying it to stand out or do you really believe it's a bad hire?
I mean, he did do a really good job. To be a head coach in the NFL for 13 years with one franchise, you got to kind of know what's going on. And McCarthy did that. He's won a Super Bowl. He can lead the Cowboys through the playoffs into that next step that Garrett can never take them there. And he also kept Kellen Moore as their OC, and he seemed to be the brains behind the offense kind of figuring things out. You get a head coach in there that can help kind of tighten up some loose ends, and you've got it in a bad division, and you should very easily be able to win the NFC East next year.
Well, that's the one thing. After what we saw this year, anybody who makes this kind of a move and sees it as an upgrade and thinks if we stay healthy, certainly at least, if not the team to beat, the co-team to beat, which I still see Philly and Dallas as in that role. All right, break time. We'll be back. 5 o'clock hour on a Tuesday next. 95.3 The Score.
What the hell's going on?